Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer.
How you doing? Chris Jordan here with the Dudes and Beer podcast. I am on the road in Katy / Houston, Texas, out here.
This ain't Katy.
We are in West Houston right now.
We're
over here in the lair of Scary Dad himself, Billy Stewart. With me is his scary wife, Meg Stewart, as well as my beautiful wife and host of the Yes But Why podcast, Amy. And our young son, Dalbus, who will be here soon, inside of her belly. As well as my awesome brother, Randy Jordan.
What's up?
Yeah. We got a nice little assemblage of the crew. We got some scary dad here. We've been talking a lot about art and passions and stuff like that lately. And I really, you know, we did an episode of that a long time ago, Billy, you and I, for Talking Sound, whenever I first started that. And I kind of want to visit that this evening because... We just had the episode with Todd Nevins where we were talking about chasing your dream, you know, go out, go hunt life. And, that's the concept of his podcast and blog. And it really got me, you know, because it took me right back to a lot of the things that we did back in the day, stuff like that, beating and, you know, just trying to do something, doing what we loved. And whenever we come back from this message from our sponsor, we will get into passions, projects, and living your life for having passions and projects right after this message from our sponsor.
Have you ever thought about brewing your own beer? Is the urge to brew there, but you just don't know how to get started? Well, Dudes and Beer is here to help. Stop on by the new Dudes and Beer Amazon store and check out all the great brewing supplies and gear today. We have it all, from instructional books and do-it-yourself kits for beginners to 16-gallon cooking vessels, carboys, bottling supplies, and cleaners for all you homebrew pros out there. Everything you need to brew your favorite beverages, even distilling equipment. So stop on by the official Dudes and Beer store today and get your hand on the greatest new brewing essentials. Simply visit dudesandbeer.com and click the Dudes and Beer store tab. Once again, that website is dudesandbeer.com and click the Dudes and Beer store tab today. Happy brewing, everybody. And until next time, drink responsibly.
And we are back. Yeah, so a long time ago, Billy and I went to high school together. We were both in shop class, and that was shortly after we had become friends the year before in technical theater, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, he had some mad skills with wood equipment and with power tools.
Yeah.
And has since... started ScaryDad.com as well as the Scary Dad podcast. But ScaryDad.com is like a DIY site, and it's all kind of projects, things like that. And I came to him. The whole reason that we're here doing this episode and even here in Houston this weekend is when my baby was coming, I commissioned Billy to build me an old school rocking bassinet. And that was one of those, like, I really wanted one. I wanted a nice one. And I was like, you know, nobody I'd rather have make it than my buddy Billy. And let's talk a little bit real quick about Scary Dad. What caused you to start up Scary Dad, Billy? Why you did that and went into that?
Probably a lot of it is that I'm a glutton for punishment, because around the time I started Scary Dad, we had just moved into this house. We had just gone through a...
Eight-week
renovation, preceded by it was in the middle of the heat of Houston, July.
Yeah.
Huh. Previous to that, we didn't know what we were, like, I've always been a craftsperson, but, like, whenever we were selling the house and the other place, we didn't know really what we were getting into. We bought our house in 2007, so that was right before the market dropped nationwide and everybody started losing their jobs. And so we had bought our house, and we got it for a good price, and we weren't paying attention because we were living in our house, and we had no intention of defaulting on our mortgage or any of that, but selling a house was difficult. So we were of the opinion that let's go ahead and put a sign in the yard and see what happens. Well, in order to put a sign in our yard, we noticed that there were some cracks around the house, some things that weren't right, so we got foundation repair guys in there. We had about a 14-month-old baby, because she became a 16-month-old, 18-month-old baby during all of this other stuff. So we had just a slightly over a year-old baby, and we had foundation repair where they came in and they dug into the middle of our house and they put, like, down through the middle of it, tore up our carpet. Like, we had to walk over plywood to get to our bedroom. And through those Kryptonian plastic fins.
Yeah, like your house is like has ET in it or something.
As soon as the foundation repair guys left, our realtor showed up and said, "Hi, I want to be a realtor." And then 10 minutes after,
that's how it works.
10 minutes or 15 minutes after she left, the foundation repair guys called and said, "Oh, by the way, your sewer line has the neighbor's oak tree growing through it. It needs to be replaced if you're going to try to sell your house."
The hell you say?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we were showing our house almost daily with a dog and a baby, having to get up and just leave at a moment's notice with a giant-ass trench in the middle of our yard.
Yeah.
And our house was under contract in, like, 2 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we didn't have a place to go because we've been juggling all this other shit the whole time. We hadn't been looking at houses.
No, I take that. I have to interject here. I had been looking at houses. That is all I did. I found this neighborhood. This is where I wanted to go.
There were no houses
in this neighborhood when our house sold.
So we were about screwed.
Wow. Yeah.
And
that's when you brought some old Indian bones over to this house.
That's what we did.
And the poltergeist pulled the other people
out. That's it.
Okay. It's helpful. It is. Now, that's when... That's when I had a breakdown. And he's like, "Okay, well, let's move to Katy." And I started bawling. And I said, "Please don't ever make me go there. I'd rather move into temporary housing than move to Katy."
Dang, dude. She said she'd rather have HUD.
She did, actually.
Yes, she did.
FEMA trailer.
Oh, my God.
She works in the Galleria.
She stayed in New Orleans way too long.
I enjoyed my LSU time.
So when we finally got here and we got the keys and we walked in and we had our baby like in her walker and we walked in this place and we were like, "Oh, this is our forever home." Then the contractor showed up to take down the wall that you don't see because it's not there, but damn. That was another 2 months of excitement.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So by the time it was all done, I was ready to just like crawl into that garage over there and hibernate. It's like,
right?
All I want to do is wood carve.
I just want to tinker.
I'm just going to make birdhouses. I'm just going to make them until I die. And then if anybody wants anything, they can all fuck off because I'm just making birdhouses.
Unless it's a birdhouse, they can eat it.
No, even if they wanted me to build them a birdhouse, I'm making birdhouses. Shut up. Go away. I'm just done. I'm done talking to you. So, a lot of it was like, okay, now we're in the place that we're going to be, and the baby's still little, and I want her to have good memories instead of memories of the tile dust and the walls and the arguing and all the whatever was going on for that couple of months. So, just started building it out, and so I built up Scary Dad, which was just going to be a blog, which pretty much still is, except now it hosts podcasts, and it was just an outlet for my hobbies. This poor girl over here, she's had to deal with my bands, my sawdust, my comic books, my random going to go record a podcast with those drunk dudes, even though it's bedtime nights and like all kinds of other stuff. So that's what Scary Dad came out of.
Well, and, you know, I just, for me, it's the fact that you found something that you loved, you found something that you always enjoyed, and you locked into it. You know, and once you start doing that, like, you were always artistic of nature. Like I said, you had clear skill in shop class whenever we actually built projects and stuff like that. So to see you naturally transition into this kind of stuff was actually great. It was fantastic for me. And to see you churn out what you churned out, feel free to go by and check it out, guys. There will be a picture of it up on Dudes and Beer for this episode, so go by dudesandbeer.com and check out the image of the bassinet that Scary Dad and Billy made for Little Dalbus.
There was no "and," that was all me.
All Scary Dad Billy.
I built that shit.
Yes, yes. And you know, it's just, it's interesting to me because I'm obsessive of mind, as my wife well knows, and as she's seen me more than nesting over the last little bit as Dalbus is getting closer. And it's like I've literally been taking on and burying myself in projects because that is what's comfy. And so
there is definitely a comfort in it.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, they bury their heads and their shoulder whenever they're just a couple weeks old. And it's, you know, they can't lift their heads yet, but it's still just very endearing, but it makes you want to build up the walls and pile up the blankets and just give them hugs and cuddles.
Well, and what I've found that it really made me want to do is start putting things in place that I've wanted for a long time. And it began with chickens. Randy and I. Randy, oh no. No.
Chickens are
kids
pretty,
ain't kids ain't chickens.
Pretty mean after the first week or so.
But Randy and I had a flock of chickens a while back in Katy, and it was just inspiring to me to get back into it and out.
Well, and you getting into it has inspired me to get back into it now too. I've been flockless for
Few years.
Yeah, a few years. I haven't flocked for a few years.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how long I can stand this flock. You might be taking the Jordan Austin flock.
Right. Checkers and
Checkers Dawn. And Dawn. Checkers
we'll
and
see,
Dawn.
We'll see how long I can.
Randy's gonna be like, I drove 6 hours for like $12 worth of chicken.
Hey, one of them's laying already.
That's funny. Actually, both of those things, you know, kind of put those together. You know, you're talking about, you know, having kids and building walls and nesting, and you know, that's, I think that's, I don't know, when I think of, you know, I know, part of Scary Dad, you know, you kind of blended, I think, two of your passions together. You know, you like building stuff and you love Halloween things, and you kind of just put them together and did that, and it's something you can do with your kids, something you do for your kids, because really, you know, when you build that stuff, they get a kick out of that.
For sure.
And
unless he built it to the specs he wants it to, and then it would just scare the ever-living shit out of him.
Well, you start off soft.
Thank you.
You start
thank
off.
You.
You can have some hands coming out of the dirt. It's all right.
It's been 6 years. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Soft is gone now.
At some point.
as long as the hands will hold your hand.
When they're playing with a Voorhees doll, it's time to amp it up a little.
When you scare the really, really Christian neighbors and they stop talking to you after Halloween and zombies, then it's time
start
to
start doing holy water on your yard as they drive by.
Uh-huh.
I told you. It wasn't because of the Halloween. It was because we used to have all the people over, and we'd all sit around with, like, Amber and Colin and Carrie, and their little girls were in the pool, and we're all like, fuck that shit, watch this, and throwing stuff into the yard.
What did you throw at their poor children?
I didn't throw anything. It was just people cussing in the yard.
No, that never happened until you put all the, like, zombies up in the front yard for Halloween.
I could see how that could cause something. I mean, yeah, but...
I don't know. Christians really like when people raise from the dead. It's a thing.
Yeah, that's true.
They're into it. They're into
just
it.
Just without all the gooey, fleshy stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they gloss right. over that in the Bible.
Right. Yeah, that's, you know, that just kind of came to mind as a dad, too. And I think any parent, really, you know, you once kids start coming along and you start looking for things to, I don't know, at least for me, to you know, to build up walls and start building things of permanence, you know, I'm not doing this just because it's a passion of mine, but I'm doing it because I know my kids will love it.
You
know,
yeah.
I know my kids will have fun with it. I know my kids will benefit from having chickens. You know, I'm doing this.
That was the same thing when I built Scary Dad, my
flock first, too.
I was going to say, one of the fun things about Scary Dad, and anybody's ever welcome to become a Scary Dad. Scary Dad is just an open forum for whatever. It's just my blog that I happen to run, and I'm always looking for ideas or whatever. But this happened, how many years ago was the Easter thing? Before Juliet was born?
No, it was before Autumn was born. So I went to Chicago play for a weekend and came back, and the Easter Bunny had poked little Easter eggs and peeps all over my yard when I came home. There were about 30 to 45 wood carved out, painted peeps and eggs.
See what happens all over when you leave? You leave Scary Dad unattended.
I also came home pregnant with, you know, I was later figured out that got pregnant right before I left.
Okay.
Let's rephrase that.
Have
you seen the kid? It looks just like him.
Yeah.
Yes. But, yeah. So you leave for 3 days, and the Easter Bunny lays about 45 painted objects all over the yard.
Nice.
Well, what happened was, right as she pulled out, like, reached into the car, I'm like, bye, baby, have a fun weekend. And she said something along the lines of, don't
screw up my yard.
She's like, she said something along the lines of, like, don't Halloween the yard while I'm gone. And I was like, challenge accepted.
That's right. Anything but then.
So the kids go to bed around 7. It's weekend. I'm in the garage. I'm like, jigsaw, paint, and go. And I also had my sister to help. So as soon as I would finish cutting out an egg, I was like, make that one pink. Go. Make that one yellow. Go. Make that one purple. Go.
Awesome. Nice. Assembly line.
Like, I had it all stacked in the yard, and whenever she came home, she was like, what the hell? I was like, challenge?
That's right.
Yep.
You said.
And not a zombie one.
It's not scary at all. In fact, it was extremely pastel.
That's right.
I did it very pastel.
It is very pastel.
Nice. That's awesome.
But the cool thing is, like you said, like, as far as bonding with the kids, now...
We each make one for Easter.
I'll make different projects, and I'll have a little piece of scrap wood. And as I get a little piece of scrap wood that seems of the right size, I'll go ahead and grab my jigsaw and just cut an egg shape out and then thaw it up into the cabinet.
Oh, that's cool.
When it comes time, I hand out an egg to each person, and then we all paint it.
Oh, that's nice.
And then on the back, I'll write our names and the year.
Yeah, see, enjoy the hell out of that, because my youngest has just turned 14, and they could give a damn less about painting Easter eggs in the garage. They'll come back to it. They'll go, I remember when my dad made that humongous zombie pumpkin thing.
Yeah.
That humongous zombie thing is badass.
Yeah, that was really awesome. Your youngest was the one who used to dress up as Carl from Walking Dead, wasn't he?
No, that's my middle one, my oldest okay. son. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he would. Yeah. Yeah. Oh wow, that was a trip.
Yeah,
that was a trip. I want him to be like Carl from The Walking Dead. Like every year we go to.
Oh yeah.
Every year we go to a comic convention.
And I don't know why he stopped, because that had to have been a major girl magnet.
It it was a huge grill magnet.
Yeah,
like it was huge. Point, it might not be such
it was
a
also a bunch of.
Given the fact that Carl doesn't. Look
it was
like
also a bunch of really odd.
The patch is a whole pirate theme.
Oh
thing
yeah.
It was. It was also this whole odd thing of strange older drunk men coming up and grabbing you by the shoulders and saying, "Carl, Carl, stay in the house, Carl.
Stay in the house.
Stay in the house."
Oh, man.
You know,
the first
things
time
like
we
that. I think that.
The,
I think that's what got him
we
more than
comic,
anything.
He
was all about the girls.
This was like 3 years ago, I think, with the Comic Palooza.
Yeah,
and
that's when we were Men in Black.
No, this was
no,
a, this
yeah.
was a year before, maybe, or
yeah.
even 2 years. This might have been 4 years ago. He had, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone in the house was into Walking Dead. Nathan wanted to be Carl from The Walking Dead. Got him the hat. Got the official
Georgia
sheriff's badge
yeah.
and put it on there and all of that stuff. And freaking spit an image. And we were at Comic Palooza, and he was, like you said, just a magnet. Everybody, no lie, probably 50 times that day. Carl, get in the house, Carl. Get in the house. I mean, it was
from across
the
hall.
Crazy.
It was hilarious.
It was crazy. And
I have to admit, I was a little bit jealous. I was like, dude, that kid's very popular right
now. He is wrecking it.
And
he is laying it
had
down.
40 or 50 pictures taken with him.
Yeah.
And so after, that was in June.
Like cosplayers coming up and taking
yeah,
pictures
it was
with
crazy.
Him.
Crazy. And so when Renaissance
he's
Festival,
doing
when Renaissance,
yeah, but like cosplayers, like people that like go out and do it,
right? So we went to Renaissance Festival, and he
nailed it.
Did he
drop his Carl?
Yeah.
So he's walking around the Renaissance Festival dressed and even hey, more people.
Ye old Carl,
ye Carl, ye Carl,
get back in ye house.
Get back in your hut.
And so yeah, now not only is he a chick magnet, he's a chick magnet for chicks in like chainmail bikinis and stuff like that, and buccaneer pirate women. And I'm
where
like,
are you hi. The good-looking women in the chain link thing.
I
though.
Tell you what, there,
they
there,
exist.
There, they existed that weekend because they took all
they
the
exist.
Kinds of girls with them.
They exist.
Came out for Coral.
You gotta camp.
And so, yeah, that was 1 year. It was like one and done. It's like next year, I'm like, dude, you gonna dress up as Carl? Nah.
Come on.
Nah.
Do you make him grow his hair out anyway?
No. He, after that, I was like, dude, you know, you would still get attention if you would
yeah.
dress, you know.
He's like, I didn't like that, Dad. You don't know me, man.
Some of it was the wrong kind of attention,
that
man.
42-year-old woman in a chainmail bikini
that's
was
right.
not my version of
yeah.
okay.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Tell you what, son, I'll take some more pictures.
She had chainmail on her knees, man.
Oh, damn. It wasn't that bad.
It's like
Ron White. This old 82-year-old biker chick came up to me at a gig. Said, "You want to see him?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. Yes, I do." Sorry.
Oh man.
But
as much as that was fun, the year before that, when both of the boys were like heavily into Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that was epic.
That was so much fun. You helped with that, Scary Dad. You made that.
Oh, making
yeah,
the
Legolas swords.
Legolas,
go and check out that video that is actually online. You can check out the Legolas sword build.
Yes, the blades. Legolas,
I still
Legolas
feel bad that pattern slipped, and I was like in the middle of zipping it out and being like, this doesn't seem right, but...
It came out looking
I'm
great.
Keep on following it because that's what was drawn. But,
right. That project there, that year when they got into doing that, that just took things off for me. And, I love making their costumes every year after that. And unfortunately, it was, you know, right as they were getting to the age where they don't want that kind of attention from Dad anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, it that lasted about 2 or 3 years, and that was it.
Yeah.
So Dad gets to make cool Halloween stuff now. It will.
Well, yeah,
no more awesome cosplay.
Well, and it'll come back around.
I'll make baby cosplay.
Yeah.
We can go to comic convention.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe and make him different things. Hey, I think the first time I actually met you was at Renaissance Festival.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, we ran into each other.
Right.
I think.
The big one was really little.
One of them was really
little.
No,
it was Julia.
No, we ran into him at Renaissance Festival when his kid was really little.
No, I'm sure, but Juliet was less than a year old.
I thought it was before you guys were married.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah, we did.
I thought we had a kid.
I thought so, no. I don't think so.
The answer to the question is, yes, we ran into him at Renaissance Festival with his kid in a stroller.
Oh, well, I drink a lot. So
I did too. So
yeah,
we could both be.
I
right.
Still do.
I also imagine.
I remember the one with the kid. I don't necessarily remember the one before that.
Well, and Renfair is one of those for me that, like, growing up, I absolutely loved it. As I got older, it got to the point that, you know, I really wanted to go about every 2-3 years, something like that, because it doesn't really change a whole lot. I've heard that the Sherwood Forest Fair is pretty cool.
Haven't been to that.
Up in Elgin. Haven't been up there either. I want to go check it out though.
Yeah, I've heard it's pretty sweet, and that's in and of itself.
There, I just was there for a separate festival.
Yes, yes, you were there for the Sound on Sound.
Yeah, I went to Sound on Sound because I was like, that seems familiar. I've been there. Oh, it was a Renaissance Festival.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I've only been to Renaissance Festival once with you guys. I never went to it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a thing that I went to when I was growing up.
So yeah. They didn't, they don't really.
I'm from Boston, I can see why that might be a thing.
They
have it up there? I assumed it wasn't the crowd that my parents.
There is one that happens near upstate New York, if I'm not mistaken. That's kind of a regional thing. But, I mean, considering all things, it's not horribly far away. You know,
yeah, from where Texan at the time, but at the time it was from Massachusetts.
So. Yeah, they do a lot more. They're into a lot more civil reenactment things like that up there, and into revolutionary reenactment.
Oh, yeah, I've seen a lot of Paul Revere.
Yeah. You know, and it's pretty wild. Like, I mean, quite honestly, my favorite town in America, hands down, is Salem. Like, I love that town. Man. It's absolutely amazing. And,
Boston's one of the places.
Yeah.
It's like Renaissance Festival all the time, except for also kind of witchy.
Salem's awesome.
I'm a big fan of all that kind of stuff.
Well, and it blew my mind.
Just imagine all the Puritans who lived there, like, you know, late 1600s, are like, we need to stop doing this. Why? Because what's going to happen is not only are going to be more people not witches, but there's going to be more witches, and they're all going to infest this place.
That's right.
So we need to just stop chasing Giles.
Yeah.
Stop putting rocks on his chest. Like, quit doing that.
Yeah. Stop all that.
Let's just be a normal town like all those other ones that everybody has forgotten.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. And then 100 years later, it's like, witch festival every time, every week of the year.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But
I wonder how many newts have had to die because of that. Or at least gone blind.
Gone blind in one eye.
Well, if you got a newt, why not just take them both?
Yeah, well.
You can sell them twice.
Well, because technically the recipe only calls for eye.
Yeah, but you gotta save your second one for the next time you need to do a spell.
They don't regenerate their eyes?
Is that a thing?
I don't think so, no.
I know they regenerate their lizards.
No, yeah, but salamanders, they're actually an amphibian, not a lizard. Lizards are reptiles.
Right.
But amongst...
It's a lizard-like thing.
Amongst all lizards. Amphibians, the one things that salamanders can do to get a little geeky and a little, you know, Doc Connors on it...
A little.
Yeah, because we're not there already.
Just a little. is that they can actually regenerate limbs, like full limbs. If you take a salamander and cut its leg off, like, it will regrow its full leg. Right,
like Deadpool.
But the eye doesn't count.
No, the eye, I don't know that they actually regrow their eyes, because the eye isn't necessarily an appendage, you see.
Should be.
One would think so, but they aren't quite a mud skipper where, like, the eye is outside, you know? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I'd have to look into that. Right. I'd have to check that out.
Yeah, there you go.
But that's where we need the person of science.
Right.
For dudes
if
and beer.
There was some witch scientists here who could tell us about the, you know, maybe there's a... person who's upset with use in Salem.
There's a witch
spells.
Somewhere
Helpia.
Being like...
There's a whole Salem section for Vita.
There's a whole bunch of witches listening to this right now being like, damn it, I've been wasting that left eye.
Yeah.
The whole time.
The whole time. I could have been freeze-drying that thing.
I could have had two for one every time.
You know what you need is one of those little Ronco machines to put them in. You could just, like, dehydrate them and save them for later.
There's some
yeah.
guy who knows exactly the answer of everything we're talking to who's listening right now. He's like, oh, my God. I mean, clearly the right answer is this. He's pissed right now.
Well, because that's the passion of his life. And, I mean, one of the...
He's stealing the eyes of newts.
One of the...
No,
witchcraft.
There's 7 billion people on the planet. Somebody's passion... is collecting
one eye
out of a newt.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got my...
And then figuring out, like...
Uh-oh. He got his Imperial probe droid out.
Your sorcerer?
I did. I just scribed.
His scrying stone.
Google Oracle here.
Yeah.
Make sure it's not going
through.
It said...
Yeah, your scrying mirror.
Newts have a... This is from newscientist.com.
All right.
Newts have a remarkable ability to regenerate body parts. In this case, the lenses in their eyes. Time and time again. Over a 16-year period...
All you need is one newt.
Panagiotis Tsonis at the University of Dayton, Ohio, and colleagues removed the lenses of 6 Japanese newts 18 times. After each excision, the lenses regenerated. They did so not from remaining lens tissue, but from pigment epithelial cells in the upper part of the iris.
Beautiful.
By the end of the study, the newts were 30 years old, 5 years older than their average lifespan.
Wow, so basically removing a newt's eye lens extends its life is what they proved.
That's kind of fucked up.
I agree, but were the witches not onto it? It's quite obviously magical.
Bring it in.
It is magical.
It matters.
That's right.
That's the
ad campaign right there. I have newt. It works.
It works.
All right. So,
there you have it.
Lenses from the last 2 excisions were indistinguishable from the lenses of 14-year-old adults that had never regenerated a lens.
Wow.
That's craziness.
Wow.
Perfect, guys.
All right, so the trick is, okay, you get you some...
You can't take the whole eye. You got to take just the lens.
No, you take you some... you get you some CRISPR, some countertop gene splicing stuff.
All
you
right.
Just splice into yourself some...
Some
eye of newt, okay?
Yeah.
And you inject yourself...
Well, because we talked about that. We talked about in the episode...
When they do LASIK now, sir. That's what we're talking about here.
Hmm? What happens with
yeah,
LASIK?
Well, no.
What
talking,
happens
but how
with
long,
LASIK? Do you think when you get LASIK, you live an extra 7 years?
The real question comes in right now. The real question is right now, they can actually take a blank cellular lattice and put your cells on it. And grow organs. They can grow an ear from your own material. They can grow a liver. So who's to say that in this right that they couldn't take like tissue from your eye and regrow a lens?
I'm down with it. I'll try it.
Not to mention the fact that think of the original witches in Salem. If you told them that then, wouldn't they tell you it was magic?
Yeah,
I would say so.
I tell you what, if you told them, oh look, you can take it the eye from a newt and regenerate yourself, they'd be like, no shit. We knew that 500 years ago.
Yeah.
We were doing that.
Yeah.
You know, we were country when country wasn't cool, okay?
That's it. That's it. You tell them, Linda.
That's right. We knew that.
I mean, the stuff that's coming out in science now is just, and it just blows my mind consistently. Even to see, we just released the other day the Thinking Deeply episode talking about the images from Cassini, and the announcement that, you know, the Euclidus.
Enceladus?
Yes, Enceladus. The moon of Saturn could very well hold, or not could very well, but does hold an oceanic world, right, much like ours, that actually holds like H2O, like water.
Just under a crust of ice.
Yeah, and you know, just to hear announcements like that coming out, to see images of Earth from like through Saturn's rings is just, it's amazing to me. It's phenomenal. And it's something that I'm passionate about. Like I love science. It is near and dear to my heart and always has been, being the dork that I am. And talking about stuff like this, like you were saying, the CRISPR, the home genetic splicer.
Right.
You know, like explain that a little bit.
Yeah. Now,
how do you gene splice at home?
I don't know. I've never done it before. But,
I mean, somebody did, right?
Yeah. No. This is some kind of.
Wait. What do you mean you don't have gene splice at home? You're sitting there cooking a kid. Yeah, but I didn't actively try to splice anything.
You didn't actively try and do any of that?
No, it just happened. It's magic, like the witches in Salem.
I'm pretty sure on how I got mine.
No, I don't know what happened.
It's a little eye of Newt, you know. Never know. You never know.
Snuggling on the couch. Watch out, kids.
Right.
Tell me about the gene splicing.
Yeah, I don't know the specifics of CRISPR. That's CRISPR, I think. Or CRSPR, something.
CRISPR.
It's not a homebrewed genetic splicing thing, but pretty much that's what it is.
It allows for the genetic splicing without introducing of foreign DNA bits.
What?
Team of researchers affiliated with several institutions in South Korea has found a way to introduce an enzyme into a cell using the CRISPR technique without having to use a bacterial carrier. The result, the group claims, is a possible way to bypass laws meant to outlaw genetically modified organisms from being used in the human food chain. So, in other words, it's a way for them to be able to bypass things like genetically modified salmon.
But it bypasses a lot of the laboratory technology you normally would have to have.
Exactly.
To do genetic engineering.
Well, yeah, the years that
you'd have to put the genetics you want injected into a virus and have the virus injected into whatever cells you want it to. And yeah, this is like the easy bake oven equivalent of genetic engineering, to where you can literally do this.
For food? Have you ever used an easy bake oven?
I have.
It's a light bulb.
I was going to say, it's just a light bulb.
It's a 40-watt light bulb. Yeah.
I know.
Is CRISPR a 40-watt light bulb?
It's... So let's bring the episode back around to what we're talking about. I built you a crib.
You did.
Talk about that.
Well... And
you brought it up.
I have Newt, man. Yeah. I did not catch any Newts in the creation of the crib. During my crib... We're having crib time. Talk about
that damn crib.
Well, and the
that's a badass crib.
It is a badass crib. It's a sweet ass crib. And you know, granted,
and a killer segment.
We both got great grades in shop. Billy was always much more precise than I was.
Is it hard to get a bad grade in shop?
Yeah, you can get a bad grade in shop pretty easily, as a matter of fact.
Whenever we were in shop, the kids had this thing.
Son, we saw the beginning of the modern education system at work.
They pulled everybody into like the shop room. The shop had a little tool room. They're like, "Hey, everybody, come in here!" And then as soon as you walked in, they'd turn off the lights and beat the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to public school.
So yeah, that was that bad.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
not a lot of
and a bunch of really smart guys who thought that it would be like funny to like, you know, put like a file in front of the break, you know, like the break is where the blade goes through, where you put your wood up against so it doesn't fly back with the force of the blade, and they thought it funny as well. Why not, man? Let's put a file on the back side of that, you know, so whenever a blade hits it, like teeth fly off, like. That kind of these, you know, people who literally by the time they got to ninth grade could not read a ruler. And when you tell them a ruler is a foot long, a foot contains 12 inches. Find the 3-inch mark.
They couldn't do it.
They literally could not find the 3-inch mark on a ruler when there is only 12 things there.
They couldn't count.
It says 1 through 12. You can't find the one that says number 3. We had one dude that like sliced off the end of a finger trying to join a piece of wood that was like 1 inch by 1 inch, you know, which like you don't even do even with push sticks because that's just stupid.
Right.
Hey, coach. He's like, just get out of my room, man. Like, like literally, those were his words. Just get out of my room and go to the nurse. Jordan, make sure he gets to the nurse.
It was bad.
So for us to be able to actually get stuff done.
Could you make a bad grade in shop class?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
Yes. Just like you can make a bad. Just like you can make a bad grade in gym class.
Yeah. I know.
You can make a bad grade in gym, too.
I did that once.
I know.
Once.
But it's possible. It is possible. And, you know, despite those things in the way, Billy was able to turn out some cool stuff. He made a great turkey. I made a nice box, couple cool yo-yos.
I still got that box.
You do still have that box.
Keep all kinds of nice trinkets.
And you mismeasured the top. It doesn't fit right.
Not exactly.
I remember that.
Yeah. It wobbles a little.
It's funny. I remember that being like, dude, you need to. It's not going to fit right. You need to dial over. He's like, no, I've measured this thing. It didn't fit. And he's like, oh, well. Crap.
Oh, look at that. You were right.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Is that whereas I had the idea, Billy had the patience. Billy had the patience and the wherewithal. That's wisdom. You learn by doing. Because you really do, like he was saying earlier before
really
the show.
He does have this.
Yeah.
Like, he will sit and stop and look at whether it's the dishwasher or the disposal or the toilet or building a crib and stuff. And you can see, like, him picturing all these parts in his head.
It's like,
breaking them apart.
It's like goddamn Michelangelo.
Together.
It's like Michelangelo.
Yeah. He's like, okay, well, we just have to do this. And the only thing I can do is nod and smile and stand there and be like, what do I need to do? Like, just give me the tool. You want me to pass you back and forth.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Whatever's going on in there,
yeah.
He has that gene.
Well, it's a meticulous nature, and it's like he was saying with the crib. You know, I sent him a diagram, and it was one that, you know, I was literally in the middle of a conference, and it came to me like I saw it. I saw myself rocking my baby in old school bassinet. You know, like an old wooden bassinet. And I was like, that would be so dope. I would love to have that. You know, I need to talk to Billy and see if he can do that. So I sent him the design. And he, after a little while, once it actually hit his table and hit his project bench, called me up and was like, hey, I need to talk to you about your design. your baby's going to fall over. So we need to do this. We need to do that. Is that cool? It's like, yeah, man. Like, that's just a rough. Like, do whatever you need to do. Make it happen. And whenever I showed up tonight, it was literally beyond belief. But... you know, it's made out of flame tiger eye maple. It's, you know, mahogany bottom and runners and, you know, beautiful mahogany inlay. It's absolutely gorgeous. And
yeah.
Well, like you said, you know, whenever you're working with materials like that, you have to be extraordinarily meticulous. You have to take care. You have to take your time. You really do have to measure 20 times before you cut and make sure that like things are right.
Well, man, you asked me for a heirloom, and I could have made it out of poplar.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it. I was like, dude, one of the things that we always have in common is music and, you know, just playing guitars at night and just...
Right.
And one of the coolest things, you know, one of the things you can find, whether you play a guitar or not, you can always find beauty in the construction of a guitar.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted a flame-top maple Les Paul.
Same here.
They always, you know, it's always got the the flame top and then the mahogany sides.
And yeah, the binding. And
then it's going to be a maple neck with maybe, it's most likely rosewood inlays. And rosewood and mahogany look very similar. So I was like, man, I'm going to make a, you know, little dude needs a rocking crib. He asked me for a rocker, and so that's what I was like, okay, so I could have made it out of poplar and stained it deep and made it look nice, but I really wanted that pop maple,
yeah,
flame top effect inlay. And so I was, for better or worse, I was making a guitar from the time I sat down and started
right.
cutting it out. And Meg and I were talking about the color on it and how should it be. And she was like, well, you know, you got to maybe this or that, because she sees color better than I do. It's like, maybe this or that. I was like, yeah, but that's cool, but flame top maple. Like,
honey,
I'm trying to make it this. And I stuck to my vision, and it turned out, in my opinion, it's the best thing that I've ever made.
It's gorgeous,
and
dude.
Your baby
beautiful.
Is going to be rocking.
I've seen, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you and I, since, like, literally age to drive, have been hanging out and building projects together. Like, be it electronics projects that we were just hacking together, you know, playing around, be it music that we were hacking together, be it trying to do some beating stuff at one point in life. You know, I mean, we've always had these little cook 'em up schemes and things like that. And to see you actually take something, move on with it, and go on with it, and see it through to this kind of fruition, this kind of craftsmanship, is on a whole nother level. And I'm just so entirely happy for you. I'm proud of you, man.
Happy for you, and I'm happy for little was it DJ?
Dalbus. Dally. You can call him Dally. He shares the birthday of Salvador Dali, so.
He'll be born on May 11th.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when this is airing.
Whether he likes it or not.
Also, yeah, whether you like it or not, kid.
Nice.
Yeah.
He's a scheduled baby.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Also, the day of the burning of the Knights Templar. So,
nice.
Yeah.
That's probably not a good thing.
No. No, not really.
There's a lot of really horrible.
No, that's when they were ousted and excommunicated. They were burned later.
Good times.
On that note. Talking about passions and passionate things, there's nothing like burning people at the stake. And, you know, whenever you're busy people burning people at the stake, you should think of nothing but ScaryDad.com. ScaryDad.com is your source for everything DIY, Halloween, and holiday related. Full of projects, recipes, all kinds of stuff, including the awesomely awesome, friggin' sweet Scary Dad podcast with Scary Dad and Swamp Thing himself. So make sure to check that out, guys. Make sure to go out, join their group, join the Houston Haunters group. If you're out here in the Houston area, you know, they have all kinds of great postings, all kinds of great projects that they share, things like that. Billy, throw down some more stuff, because I know you got all kinds of crazy info coming up for Scary Dad soon, man. So lay it down for people. Let them know what's happening.
Frightmare Weekend in Dallas.
Yeah.
Nice. Scott's going to, I don't know if I'm going to make it, but Scott's going to be at Comic Palooza.
Nice.
Podcasting all the guests.
Nice.
We're just rolling up. So if you like us, know us, hit us up. If you want to talk to us, hit us up, because we want to talk to everybody. We're open forum. So like us, love us, tell us what you want to hear, and we'll probably say it.
Right?
Nice. When's Scott going to be at Comic Palooza?
What are the dates on that? Do you know offhand?
It's May 12, 13, and 14, I know.
Okay.
I know he is. I don't know. He's.
It'll be that weekend at some point.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to be there the whole time.
Rock it.
I'll be out there too, so I'll see if I can find him.
Nice. Nice. And, you know, big props to Yes But Why on recently reaching 1 year of their show. Woot woot to that. indeed. And
much woot.
Thank you so much for Scary Mom for joining us. And also Randy. Always just great having you there. On. That
my
dude
pleasure.
In
my
the
pleasure.
Side. And on that note, everybody, feel free to go on by. Check out dudesandbeer.com. Check out all the great fun videos of the week. Download the app. It's free. It lets you chat with us. Lets you do all kinds of fun stuff. Until next time, everybody, remember, if you can't be good, be good at it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams and chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for both Android and iOS devices, available on the Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the Revolution Digital Group family of podcasts. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.